Talking today with Steve Thompson with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. Steve, you and other folks within the agricultural community spending some time with the state legislature, one of their interim studies, actually a pair of them today, looking at the agricultural sales tax exemption issue, and especially, I guess, the aftermath of the passage of Senate Bill 422 this last spring. What did you take away from this, three hours or so of time between the two studies?
I think that you know, there were pros and cons today to what we did. There really were, and I think that's reflective of the situation. I think that it was very much a good thing that we're able to reinforce the problems that we've encountered with the Tax Commission. Some of the changes that they implemented on their own early this spring, we're able to focus on what they were and why we had to take things into our own hands and pass Senate Bill 422. And then it also gave us a chance to highlight the problems we've encountered with getting that new law implemented and how the system is just really still not working as smoothly as it should. And so I think that was very good to focus on that and to communicate with several players in the room there about what we were seeing, hearing, and dealing with. But I think it was kind of frustrating to hear the lack of understanding about how this process worked, how farmers do things. I think there's such a disconnect between urban legislators and production agriculture and such a disconnect with a lot of folks in how our system of sales tax exemption work. And so maybe we shared a little bit of information and everybody learned a little something, but I think focusing on some of our challenges is always good to help spread the word. But I think we all left just a little bit frustrated at the lack of understanding of a lot of the problems that we face.
When you look at obviously some answers, we heard a lot of talk about, well, we're there's no danger of losing the agricultural sales tax exemption. I know that's good news for our ag organizations, but really the point of the interim study, I thought, was to talk about how we make sure that anyone that qualifies doesn't have to jump through too many hoops to get the card.
No, I think you've hit the nail on the head. One of the things that like I said, is a positive takeaway is our Senate Finance Chair, Senator Dave Rader from Urban Tulsa, is a great gentleman, and we enjoy working with him. But he's an urban legislator that has very limited ag background, and he stated very, very much unequivocally that nobody wants to eliminate this key provision for us. However, despite the fact that you had farmers, accountants, assessors, retailers, you had lobbyists from Farm Bureau, Co-op Council, Cattlemen's, P&K Equipment, you had all of the experts, I think, there in the room. It feels like we still didn't necessarily stay focused on the problems that we had. I think that we took a step backwards and we were speaking one language and a few other people in the room were speaking another one. And so I still feel like we have a number of bumps in the road that we have to figure out how to smooth out moving forward. And one of the things that Representative John Pfeiffer brought up is it may or may not require further legislative fix. A lot of it is communication and cooperation. We need the Tax Commission to notify the assessors of how this works now. They've seen so many changes and that the assessors tell us they're really not sure what the rules are. And in fact, the new law went into effect July 1st, and the assessors have received no official communication from the Tax Commission about, what their role in the process is now. And so that's a great frustration for us, and I don't know that we left today having made any improvements in that area. Maybe we did, but we're just still a little bit skeptical.
Is there a single? I know there was a little talk during the 3 hours about, well, we need a single piece of paper that someone can sign off on, and that, whether that's electronic or it can be generated as a hard copy and then sent in electronically. Is that really what we're looking for within the ag community?
I think any move that would simplify this process for ag producers would be considered progress, because what we had to intervene and do with the legislation was not a perfect fix, but it was our attempt to avoid a train wreck when the expiration of a third of those came due July 1st. And so I do think that simplifying this down to like you said, to one piece of paper that everybody understood that would be progress. You know, they're one of the options available now under law is described in the law as a business description. Well, that form was created by the tax commission, and they call it a 3-year business plan. Now they've limited it to one page, but it's there's a lot of stuff on that page, and it's kind of hard to access that document. And so we're with something that I think is going to need to be shared around a little bit better than what we have so far. And is that what they're going to stick with? Because that's part of the frustration is let's simplify this and let's stay consistent so that everybody can learn, you know, in all 77 counties, what it is they have to meet. So the one page form, if we could rally around one form and the tax commission bless that this is our form and we're going to keep it, and that they don't ask for information on the form that is beyond the scope of the law. And there's some questions about, you know, whether they have the authority to ask for financial information and whether that form goes too far. But if we could get that to a reasonable form, I think that would go a long ways into securing the future of this for the producers in the field.
I guess the other thing that I did hear a fair amount of concern raised was this term or this phrase, for profit. What does that really mean, I guess, was the discussion point today.
Yeah, we've been really nervous every time the tax commission tries to bring that to the forefront of the discussion, is that you must be farming for profit, and that they want you to verify that in some of their website. Well, as most everybody knows, Ron, there's many years that our producers, whether they're small, large, or in between, they don't necessarily show a profit on paper. There's a lot of things that go into that. You know, there's depreciation, there's weather, there's any other kind of challenge that on a given year, we're not going to make a profit. And the fear is that they'll extend this if someone hasn't made a profit, you know, so many years in a row, that they'll say that no longer qualifies as farming for profit. Now, the tax commission tells us verbally, no, we're just talking about you have to be trying to make a profit. Well, they have demonstrated that they fundamentally don't understand the way agriculture works. And so our folks and our staff is very concerned about how key that has been in the discussion. And it seems like we have a different definition of that than they do. And so as long as there's still that disconnect with them, we're going to be a little bit nervous.
Overall, end of the day, as you came out of that particular meeting, anything, is there some sort of a thing that you've got in the back of your mind you'd like to see Farm Bureau maybe advocate to the legislature in 2022?
This is an ongoing conversation. I think that we're liable to see some bills filed out again, but we don't have a clear path forward legislatively other than that this needs to be a priority for the tax commission to help smooth out the bumps in the road. And so we certainly appreciate the support of the legislators that want to keep that as a priority item that we need to be communicating with our members as they continue to go through with this. And as long as the legislature continues to put pressure on the tax commission to make sure that this gets achieved, you know, the role, we had a question today about equity and what would make this an equitable situation. And our answer was that as long as a producer who should qualify for this is able to achieve this in a reasonable manner, we think that is equitable. And it's no different than any other state government agency we work with, is that there needs to be a reasonable way for you to accomplish your business with them. And it shouldn't be such an adversarial relationship. And it certainly has felt like the tax commission has made agriculture the bad guy in these transactions. And so we want to keep making sure that the system gets cleaned up just an inch at a time until our producers are treated fairly.
Steve Thompson, Oklahoma Farm Bureau, talk with us about the interim study meetings that were held on Monday, September 13th. A pair of them, one hosted by Senator Roland Peterson, the second by Senator Casey Murdoch, the chairman of the Senate Agriculture Committee. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.